All right, guys, welcome to the Book of Pwnage Creator Commentary. I'm Josh Rivas, the head writer for Massive Pwnage.
I'm John Nielsen. I'm the artist. I draw the pictures.
He does. He's seriously, it's quality stuff, guys.
It's true. So here we are on the front page. It's very nice. It's got our names on it.
I was kind of expecting it to be the same as the cover, only like...
Just copy.
Just a copy of the cover, but with like a lighter coloring.
No, I know.
A lot of artists do that, but you actually had...
Yeah, I redrew it. I made a new picture. It's very nice. There's a, text.
Legal stuff.
Legal stuff. Yeah, it's boring. Stuff.
We just got to make sure that we don't have anyone, take our material, even though who else can claim this kind of insanity, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't know. There's the ISBN. That's kind of cool.
I never noticed you put fancy words there by my name.
Oh, yeah, down at the bottom.
Intro, summary, and other fancy words by John.
Well, people got to know.
That's true, I guess.
Don't want to get that mixed up or confused.
People can't steal my A-game material.
No,
jeez.
No.
Jeez, not at all.
Dedication goes there. Just,
I was wondering whether or not we were actually going to put a dedication there, and it was just a misprint. But then when you started signing them that way... I got the joke. Like, I feel bad that I was the last person to get the joke out of the two of us.
Yeah, this is where I will sign and draw a little sketch.
Yeah, when you order the artist edition, I think it's called.
Yeah.
The artist edition, there's a comment box where you can actually ask for a commission. Usually, you can ask for one, but it costs a lot more on the site. But here, if you buy one of them, you can get a small sketch within reason.
Yeah, of course.
He's not going to draw you an epic ninja pirate fight scene on the high seas in the middle of a maelstrom. He does have to draw the actual comic.
If you ask for something like that, you'll probably get some stick figures. It'll be nice. They'll be really nice. I'll use my fancy pens, because I got some nice inking pens. But yeah. Oh, here's the intro.
Oh, there's my super long dedication letter. I mean, it pretty much covers our sort of intro story of how we got started. It's kind of perfect for our first year, I guess. It pretty much shows how we started, where we got most of our ideas from, and that it was just a thing that John and I started together, and it just erupted into an actual project, and I think that, it's an everyday part of our lives.
Really just started doing it. It's like, oh, let's make a couple comics. And then we got stuck doing it, and now it is our curse.
It is our curse. It is our curse. But, it's not a bad one.
Yeah, as curses go, it's not too bad.
You know, we could, shoot lasers out of our eyes like Scott, from the X-Men.
I guess.
That could be bad.
That could be cool, but it could also be bad. I don't wear sunglasses.
Did you ever think that it would actually, blow up and, we'd actually have our own site and stuff.
Who, Cyclops?
No. I'm not even talking about X-Men anymore.
Oh. Shh.
You gotta follow me here.
Oh.
No, I'm talking about the comic. Did you ever think that it was gonna jump from just a side project that we did into, an actual...
I'd always hoped it would.
Yeah, I remember starting it and I was thinking, even if we don't jump off, it's something to put on a resume. It's something to show off.
Yeah, something we've done.
But, 3 years later, we've got, we're self-publishing. It's crazy.
It's pretty good.
It is.
I also remember when Josh sent me this this intro, I had a hard time fitting it onto this page. I had to shrink some text.
He was bugging me for a long time to write a great deal for it, but when he said a great deal, I took it the wrong way.
No, it's fine.
I wrote a page, and it was a huge, long letter. It was kind of like my feelings towards all the fans that have kept up with us. Just all the feelings I've collected over the years just exploded on a page. And he was upset with me. He was upset with me.
He
had to fit it in the page. And
yeah, it's so much work.
How many times did this... we had to resend it to the site?
A lot.
10 times?
A lot.
I say we, I helped do it when it was you that actually put it together.
Yeah. I did all of the creation of this book, and I had a hard time getting all the measurements perfect and just all the little things that need to be perfect to get it published. It was work.
Yeah, it was a tough time.
It's a big kitty.
The kitty seems to be a common meme.
I guess. Kind of.
It started with the logo at first, and then and there was the black and white cat. It's just your cat back at your parents', right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
His name is Yoshi.
Yeah. He's a good kid. That was one of the ones, later ones, when I thought it was Cassie. It was my cat, and I'm like,
oh, that was one time.
That was one time. I think that was one later on.
Yeah, first year. It's actually in here, so we'll get to it.
Okay.
Here's the first comic. I say some stuff.
I had nothing to do with this one. This was actually one that circulated online when he was showing it off. And he was getting sort. We didn't have a page back then. He was just. He made the comic, and then he was showing it off to his friends and saying, hey, I was playing around with this. And I saw this one, I'm like, oh, okay. So he's...
It's like, okay, yeah. Like,
all right, cool.
And I made more, and brought Josh on, and everything's been good. I actually say that right here. It's all written right here, so I won't say too much about it. second comic, not much to say. I was still working on the art style.
Yeah.
Cheetos.
This is pretty much a staple of, like, our first comics. It was more in jokes with friends and inside jokes. And this was mostly because it hadn't been a site yet, and it hadn't actually developed into a comic.
Yeah, I was just...
It was other readers.
Making these for fun.
Kamehameha.
This one, I just wanted to draw my character shooting a Kamehameha wave.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's cool.
It's cool, and it's, like, the most... It's... The thing is... Whenever someone asks about Ents doing something silly, and they're like, a person would never do that or say that, I have to laugh because a lot of the time when Ents has a line that's really funny, it is actually something that John has said or done.
Yeah, a lot of the time.
He has never Kamehameha with, you know, a spider before.
I tried. It didn't work out.
I think everyone's tried that's ever watched the show has tried at least once. But yeah, a lot of the things are just things that he would actually say, and that's why Ents is so fun to write, because we already know it's something that he would do. We know how he would act, because it's pretty much an exaggeration, I guess, of John's natural character.
Yeah. This is actually the first one that Josh wrote.
I think so. Yeah, it was. Right. I think this was when I was making a comment on, you know, seeing all these new electronics come out. The first thing I saw was the iPhone. And of course, I don't really hate Mac. I just go on to, you know, that gravy train of, like, just trolling.
Yeah, you either love it or hate it.
Exactly. And I just didn't like the fact that a lot of people...
Blindly
love it for no apparent reason. But when I saw that there was going to be an iPhone, I'm like, oh, God, now they're going into... You know, they're making these smartphones. And I just thought I'd troll a bit with it and write this.
No, comic. That's like one of my favorite lines.
Souls of the Wretched.
Souls
of the Wretched. I actually threw a couple lines out at John a couple times, but he wrote back to me and said, Souls of the Wretched stands out so much. It's just great. And I think I wrote this one as sort of a pseudo-guest comic, I think?
I think.
Yeah, I don't think I started until after the next one that's after this. Oh, no.
I was playing Rune Factory at the time, and that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, it is kind of a random one. I hadn't played the game, so I didn't really get it.
It's good. This one's a true story. Probably the first of the true story comics. My cat does this. My parents' cat.
It's an odd phenomenon, cats.
Yeah.
I think a lot of our comics have gone around this, just the weird stuff that happens in our house. Especially
with
cats.
Yeah. Did you write this one, Josh? No, I wrote this one.
I did not write that one. You actually wrote to me about that one, but I think you were 83%
way
through it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really suggest anything that funny. I think this may be one of the two times in the entire series where we get to see their eyes.
Yeah.
I think
probably,
the rest
yeah,
of the time,
this is number one, and then there's one other time, like,
way
much later.
Down there.
I don't think we have never shown Ents's eyes, though.
No, I
never.
Don't, no.
He doesn't have them.
I don't think so.
No.
He can't take the glasses off, otherwise he'd shoot laser beams out of his head.
Yeah. It's yeah. There's two comics on here on this page. First one is mine. And, oh wait, no, I wrote both of these, never mind.
Yeah, I think the only thing I supplied for the one on top was...
The last panel, I think.
The last two panels. Because he knew that the joke was there. He just needed the last bit of the punch.
Yeah, that little extra.
And I suggested, why don't you modify a Google page and just have it come up with nothing?
Yeah.
Which never happens.
No, yeah, of course if you Google lock, you'll get so much stuff, but...
Yeah, you'll probably get the Final Fantasy VI character, I think it is.
And it's an actual dude, right?
Yeah, he's a philosopher. He's a philosopher.
Politician? Philosopher?
It was a philosopher.
Anyway.
John Locke.
Here's Josh's.
I think this is one of my favorite ones, not the favorite one, but this joke is... It keeps flying around. It is kind of getting old. But this was one of the first ones that I had come up with completely just out of the blue. I wrote the script, and then I sent it to John, and he got the imagery really well. He thought it was a really funny idea. But we were tinkering around with what we could put on the balloon.
Yeah.
And the most random thing I could think of that wouldn't be harmful to the pelican was peanut brittle. I have no idea why. I don't even like peanut brittle. And it was just the funniest
thing. I've had it. I don't think I like it too much either.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's really weird.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. I think this was one of the ones where way down the line, a fan had actually asked us whether we did this.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I gave him a long response.
Yeah. Explaining,
like an almost legal matter, how we don't want people attempting this.
Yeah.
It could be very bad.
It's probably not a good idea in real life.
Not at all. Along with a lot of the ideas that come from here.
I don't know where I got this idea. I'm sure it's probably when I first got Rock Band.
It was always with our group of friends. There was two groups that had a copy of Rock Band. John was one, and then our friend Chris had another set, which we went and played. And I remember playing it at John's house for the first time, but the whole family was involved. You guys don't understand. All of them play Rock Band. All of them.
Of course.
Whereas in my household, I believe I'm the only one that actually extensively plays. I was jealous of them.
This one's good. Oh, this one is...
This has history.
This is an old in-joke. I was watching a friend of ours play Yoshi's Island, and I say these things.
This was actually an example of when we took a line just straight from there and put it in. And I think, did you do all these backgrounds yourself?
By hand.
It was pretty crazy because he actually sat there and did the hills and did the same art style.
Took a very long time.
I'm sure. Did you do this? Were you still working in Photoshop back then?
It's always been Photoshop.
It's always been Photoshop?
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
This one...
I wrote this
one. Yeah.
I wrote this one. This was one on Elite Beat Agents. And I remember playing it for the first time with my friend Andrew, and I thought it was a really silly game until I actually picked it up and started playing it. And then, Jesus, a rhythm game can actually work on the DS, but it got hard. It got crazy hard.
Yeah, we know someone that bought a DS for this game.
Yeah. I think the same person that got an Elite Beat Agents related injury. I think the only one on the planet that has ever gotten an Elite Beat Agents related injury.
It's hard. That's how hard it is.
That's how hard it is.
This one is probably the first one that I really tried to push myself in the art. Really tried to get the quality. To really make it look good.
Yeah, this one was one that I had originally written on Tactics, but we decided to make it a joke on flip effects in general.
Oh, yeah, in general.
Because that's one staple in gaming that we've never really
liked. Yeah, 50-50 chance. You're either going to win or you're going to lose.
Yeah, it got pretty bad, and it's... Yeah.
Pandas? This is my brother's handle. I don't know if he still uses it, but that was his name. He would use 90 pandas, and when he told me that, I'm just... Really? That's a lot of pandas. I wonder how that works exactly.
Yeah, I think this is where the character designs are actually starting to solidify.
Yeah.
Where
I'm not just messing around.
You're not just messing around. You've actually got the kind of feel for the characters, and I think this is one of the few times where it isn't Locke spilling out a monologue. Where
he's doing a lot of talking.
He's doing a lot of talking, and then he does that a lot more during the series. Oh, this one's good.
Animal Crossing. Everyone loves Animal Crossing.
Everyone loves Animal Crossing. I was really impressed by the first panel of this one.
Yeah, this is another time I spent forever.
I remember pitching this one because my sister had been playing it, and there were just these things that caught my eye, where I could actually go to the junkyard and grab the furniture and then just sell it. And I just thought it was really funny that I'd be trying to pitch this stuff to other animals. And I thought, who's the most ridiculous animal I could sell it to? And luckily, one of my neighbors, Hornsby, was nearby, and I just laughed really hard.
He's a rhino.
I was heckling a rhino. This guy could, you know, hurt me very badly.
Very badly. Well, here is the first story arc.
I remember asking for a long time whether or not we were going to do a story arc.
And yeah.
You were kind of hesitant to try one, because it was going to be a lot of work, and you weren't really sure if that's the way you wanted the comic to go. But I think my ground rules were it had to be gaming-related.
Of course. There
would be no romantic interests. And introducing a new character, that was kind of taboo unless we discussed it and planned it. And so I think this was just a silly thing. With The Sims, I really do like The Sims.
Yeah.
It's just that the gameplay got really repetitive to me. So when I saw this, I sent the article to John talking about this. We were both speechless.
This is a real thing. I've seen it. I've seen this at the store. Sims Free Time.
Yeah, it's...
Play games about playing games.
During your free time. Right.
This is the second part. Is this an anime, Josh? Isn't this a quote?
Yes, that's from Trigun, actually. Oh. I was wondering whether or not you'd catch it, but we censored it, of course. But this is pretty much our homage to anime in general, these
wicked scenes.
We did have a one person post on this. I think gave me some criticism about this, saying it's like EA was the one making The Sims at the time of this.
I do not know.
It was deep within the labyrinth of posts that we have. And I wanted to respond, but they did not have a real email. They had a fake email that was there. Uh-huh. And I wanted to tell them that yes, EA was the one that published it, but Maxis developed it.
Yeah.
She was saying that you should research your comic, and I'm like, well, I kinda do. It's kind of my business to know.
It's kind of our job. Here's the continuation.
Now that I look at it, that's a lot of text.
Yeah, it's a lot of text and a lot of panels.
I remember you actually told me to cut down on some of the dialogue, because
we
had a lot of trouble putting out the comic in time if there were a lot of panels.
Yeah, a big comic like this takes longer.
Yeah, and I think after we did this first arc, we established the ground rules that if we had an arc going, I needed to have the script set in stone, maybe two comics ahead of time.
Yeah, ahead of time. So I can have time.
Yeah, it does take a lot to develop.
And here's the ending. I think Josh didn't even write this one. I just added
it. Yeah, it was your own little conclusion.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because it has a WoW joke and a Sims joke all in one.
Oh, yeah.
And a SimCities joke, but, you know. Yeah. Three punchlines. Three.
I guess. Here's the kitty.
Yeah, this is like one of the starts to the meme besides the other one. And did you put Ooga Booga before?
There's one before. You see the little guy in the painting? He's a cool guy.
Yeah, it's sort of a little staple that John has in a lot of his art, like way back before we even started this.
Yeah.
And he pops up all over the place. It seems to be something that ends.
It's great.
It's like your free hand exercise, like before you draw anything.
Quick,
Ooga Booga. I actually have a mouse pad from high school where he drew Ooga Booga.
Randomly.
And he gave it to me, and that is my gaming mouse pad.
It's pretty good.
I use it. I use it extensively.
This is a true story. Well, kind of a true story.
It is kind of a true story. I had not yet seen Star Wars at the time of this script being written. And I was writing it about it because I think, it was in response to the Soul Calibur trailer. And I thought it was really cool.
I knew
the whole plot of Star Wars, but I'd never watched the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And that was something that had to be changed. And, you know, and told me, you need to watch it.
So I
finally did. And that Darth Vader is actually, it's your art, isn't it?
Yeah, you can tell I did not copy it. You can tell, because if you look close, he's got three fingers on that hand.
Ah, I never noticed that, actually. That's really weird.
There's two comics here. First one, I'm sure I was looking for work at the time, which is what inspired that one.
Yeah. And yeah, it was still tough back then. Before right now. And then, of course, this, you know, John's hatred for tomatoes and sandwiches.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't understand this one. It's like, oh, ha ha ha, it's a big sandwich. No, the real joke is, you know how long it's going to take him to take those tomatoes out of there? They're huge.
I mean, they are. That is a gargantuan sandwich.
He's going to have to
That's a party sandwich.
He's going to sit down and have to pick all those tomatoes out of there.
I'm rather in awe that he's actually going to eat it. He's still going to eat it. That's
yeah.
That's
fun. Here's actually the start of the next arc.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Wow, we started them pretty close.
I guess so.
I think I was trying to shape Locke into this sort of...
Paranoid
kind of guy. But he ended up turning into more of a pessimist than anything. Like, here, he talks about how he was more afraid of things. And later on in the series, we see crazier things, and he's actually just annoyed by it rather than amazed by it.
Yeah. So this was, I was experimenting with different angles in this comic. You know, change it up a bit. This one's good.
This is a good one. I think I pulled some of, some of the Cthulhu mythos.
Yeah, that's what he's saying right there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, yeah. And then, again, last panel, we have a reference to birding. They're still using peanut brittle, and there's a flamingo.
Where did they catch that flamingo?
That is a mystery. Originally, when I wrote the script, there was supposed to be lots of different kinds of birds.
Oh, right.
But John felt that it was going to be too cluttered.
Yeah, and just one completely random bird.
He's getting into trouble. He does this a lot. I think this
happens.
This was one thing that we were discussing after this arc, that a lot of the times when stuff happens, it's usually Ents that causes it, and that would get old.
Yeah. We try not to go overboard with that.
Oh, yes.
Harry Potter.
I was really pleased with how that came out, and a lot of the one-shots, you hear this a lot, one-panel comics, everyone's like saying, oh, that's a good shirt, a good shirt. I don't think this one would be, because it's in the middle of an arc, it's not really a filler. Unless, of course, you took out the talk bubbles, and it would be...
I don't know, though. That'd be cool if I... maybe someday I'll redraw it and see how it looks. Bubsy.
Locke Abrams. I think he didn't have a last name for the character, and I think...
Me either, yeah.
I think I was developing, like, some sort of change from Abraham, and then I realized, oh, that's a, you know, they could be an Abrams tank, and it's just
exactly
there's so many things that have Abrams in it, it's natural. So I thought it was just a nice name, you know. Locke is kind of like the staple name that I use for a lot of my RPG characters, and it just stuck. You know, I was asked for a name for the character, and I just threw it out there.
I know mine, Encifer, was just a name that I pretty much made up. And then later, I don't think it's happened yet here in the comic, but later I shorten it to Ents.
Yeah, because we thought it would be a little more natural sounding.
Yeah.
And it was around other people.
Yeah.
It wasn't just going to be two guys in an apartment forever, and that gets old, and a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
It's something that's been buried to death.
Yeah, and we try to stay away from that. But, and then later, I did come up with Ents's last name, which is Enfield, and I got that because Locke, Abrams tank, and Enfield's gun, so I thought,
yeah, it's,
okay.
It's a rifle, isn't it?
It's a rifle. Yeah.
Mega Man, you actually had to redraw this because it was a sprite comic.
I used sprites before. When I originally posted this, it was sprites, and I felt I probably shouldn't print that, so I went back and redrew Mega Man.
And this was the return of the iPhone.
Yeah,
because we never really went anywhere with that, and I think we discussed before whether things that happen in the previous comics, whether they're canon or not. And most of the time they're not, but we thought in this case it would be pretty funny to have the iPhone return and do a bad thing. And of course this is Mega Man, this is, you know, the Mega Man X universe, I think it is.
Yes. I think it's the first Mega Man X. Or the second one, I don't remember exactly.
But yeah, it had to be redrawn. It was a sprite comic, something that he played around with before, but it wasn't really our thing. This is the casino night level of Sonic 2.
I guess that's where Locke ended up.
One of my favorite games of all time.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I think this was one comic that I greatly appreciated in terms of the story, further down, and also deeply regretted. And you'll see later why, because I decided to give this the Chaos Emerald here to Locke.
Oh yeah,
it was mostly just a gaming reference at first. And yeah, then we decided to have him be able to use it for cool stuff. We'll keep going. Yeah, here's the first use of Chaos Control, and I mean, this was a sort of weird plot arc that sort of wrote itself. I had the first half going, and I wasn't quite sure how it was going to end it, so I thought it would be cool to end it in a climactic note, in an action-y note.
Explosions, Josh.
I had been reading far too much manga at the time. I was busy reading Bleach and Naruto and a lot of stuff. I was in between classes, and I remember writing this one because it was just the complete opposite of what I usually did. I had a lot of dialogue in my scripts. This was one of the ones where it's just panel, 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 panel.
Boom. Boom. Literally, there's an explosion.
There is an explosion.
That is a good explosion. Also, you hear me say this a lot, but I really don't like my old art.
It kind of happens.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. I mean, I'm looking at that Earth right now, and I'm just kind of like, eh.
I feel sometimes the same way about the writing, but not. I'm pretty sure not as bad, because the glare, like, it's glaring,
yeah.
The art.
It's not as obvious.
Not as obvious, no.
Conclusion. There's a hole in the wall.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to make it apparent that their misadventures don't just not have consequences. That, you know, they actually do have to deal with the aftermath of what they do. And that became a common staple of the comic.
And then a kitty.
Yeah.
That's a kitty.
We've never had a dog, actually.
No, I don't believe so.
I don't think we've had a dog.
No.
It might be something to change. Oh, wait, Goofy.
Oh, yeah. Well, Goofy. I guess that counts.
If we're going to try to figure out his species again. But we won't get into that debate here.
Kitty again.
Being awesome. I was talking to John about Killer Instinct. And that was one of my favorite fighting games on the Super Nintendo. It was actually one of the launch games for the Super Nintendo. And I had just been talking to him about it. We decided to do this quick comic on it.
Something like that, yeah.
Mostly to see if anybody remembered that game. It's kind of forgotten now.
I don't know. This is one of my comics, and I don't know what to say.
It's a lot of the times an idea will just pop up. He'll pitch it to me, and he'll ask me whether or not to finish it, to have a hand in it. I'm like, it just sounds fine. Or he'll actually conclude that it's a perfectly fine comic.
Yeah, a lot of time I don't pitch it to Josh, and I just go ahead
just
and make
go
it.
Ahead and go with
That's
it.
How it usually works. Here's one of Josh's.
Yeah, this was one where the ending, I guess the ending didn't quite fit. I kind of feel, this might be one of the ones that I don't feel as proud of. Because it was funny, it was a raid comic, but it was more boiling down to Ents being silly.
Yeah, I think, I don't remember exactly, I think it was my idea that late at night Ents just does crazy stuff.
Yeah. And then I thought I added Locke in there doing something late at night, raiding, of course.
Yeah.
I think this was one where I did a shout out to a friend. Never appreciated it. grumpy.
David Boy.
Oh, yes. This was another joke where we were making fun of fantasy stuff in general. I think this was both Tactics and WoW. The rogue gear is what I'm wearing. And that actually was the gear that my rogue
I think,
was
yeah, at the time in WoW.
Yeah, and then I think we both wrote this one, Dance Magic.
Yeah.
And the punchline was just, it was there. It was set up
perfect.
It was the perfect joke. It's one of my favorite ones, if not my favorite one.
The second one here, that's just, that's something of, I went to an arcade and I got these little toys and this is something I did.
I think
it was good times.
To your brother, right?
Yeah, I think it wasn't Josh. It was my brother.
I don't remember being ambushed by this.
No, that never happened.
Toys.
Here is
This is Alice Doyle. This is her first appearance. And, yeah, it was just a character that I wanted to put into the comic because we have Locke, who was turning into more of a pessimist than a paranoid person. But he was often silly and he often exaggerated. And Ence, he just goes with his emotions and runs forth. And I think I needed Alice here as a character just as sort of as a middle person, a voice of reason.
And someone for Locke to interact with.
Yeah, because a lot of the times he couldn't interact with anyone on a really deep basis intellectually, but he did connect via gaming. But Alice doesn't game as much, so
no.
It's implied that she plays World of Warcraft,
yeah.
But we don't see a lot of that in the comic. We don't see a lot of her in the comic.
Yeah, that's true. The reason for that being is that I've always considered to be Josh's character, and I don't really know what to do with her.
And that, and like, she has changed. Her character design has changed a lot.
Yeah, that's another reason. I don't know how to draw her.
It's taken a bit.
I think I got it now. Now,
but back
currently,
then,
I think I can do it.
She appeared so rarely that she just never came out.
Here's Alice meeting Ence.
In truth, Bull, John, and I do this monologue.
Yeah, we will go off. On anything.
With John, it's gaming in general, and oftentimes anime, and for me, it is anime and Kingdom Hearts. I will never shut up when someone talks about
no,
it.
No, he won't.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's pretty bad.
this Pac-Man one here? I think this still, even now, has the record for being the quickest comic I've ever made. Incidentally. I don't think it's bad by any means,
no,
but I definitely finished it in probably, like, you know, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
It is good. It's pretty called Food, wasn't it?
I think that is the title of that one, just Food.
Food.
Food. This one is all me. I don't remember... I'm trying to remember the idea exactly.
Yeah, it was more, I think, a joke, and he discussed this with me after he wrote it and he posted it, about how Pokemon are seemingly able to communicate with each other.
Right.
But just using their own names. And normally that wouldn't be that bad, except for the fact that they can pass out tactics. They can call out orders in the language of another species. And we just thought it was really funny, you know, that they have this. Oh, he actually drew the Pikachu bug.
Yeah.
That famous Pikachu bug that goes around Japan. I think they had it in the U.S. for a bit.
And by the way, as a translation... I think it's kind of obvious, but, you know, he's asking a question, he's answering, and then the last panel, he's like, you just want a brand new car!
Yeah, it's great. Squirtles actually came out good, this one.
Yeah. This is a old picture of mine, and I just redrew it for the comic.
I did actually see that in your old room. A long time ago, when you had a bunch of sketches up.
Yeah. And I just redrew it, made it nice, current. Not current anymore.
We both play guitar.
Yeah, we actually, Josh and I both have our own guitars, and we play Guitar Hero and Rock Band like crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. A lot of people that are musicians don't like it, and a lot of people that like playing it don't like musicians, don't like the real thing. But the both of us, we play for fun. I think out of the two of us, John has been a lot more dedicated to it, so he actually plays stuff, and I just, you know, I'm a rhythm guitarist, so I just play around with power chords. But we thought it would be funny to make a slight on this and the actual Guitar Hero franchise.
This is Josh's first all by himself.
It hurts looking at that art. I remember you pointing it out to me, the glaring yellow that is the sand.
Yeah, I don't think I even told you, but I actually changed it a little bit before I posted it.
Well, I am glad you did.
It was so bright, and I think I actually went through Photoshop and changed it just a little bit, and then posted it.
I remember doing this as a test of my own Bamboo Fun tablet.
His tablet.
And the ghost fish was something that I actually sketched, scanned in, and then inked. But my version of Ninja Lock here was drawn in program. And I just I liked it. I liked the joke because those fish were just annoying as hell. But the art just glares at me, and it reminds me of why I don't regularly draw for the comic.
We are both artists. I think I draw more regularly, and Josh is more casual about it.
Yeah.
But we do both draw.
Yeah.
Oh, the idea with these two here is Josh wanted the emerald to be red.
I
misunderstood, I made it green.
It red.
Because emeralds are green. Yeah. I made it green.
Yeah. It was mostly because of my, like, ongoing fandom and undying respect for Shadow the Hedgehog.
He's cool.
Yeah, he's a good cool character.
Yeah.
And we just randomly decided to use it, that whole discussion, you know, for these two comics.
Yeah, so...
And we mentioned Battletoads.
Yeah, Battletoads.
So hard. I think I have yet to beat it to this day.
Yeah, I mean, me either. This is actually one of my favorite comics.
Once again,
it's good.
Cthulhu Mythos pops out again.
That happened a couple times. That happens.
It does. And we mentioned The Door to Darkness.
Yeah. People got confused about that. It's like, when did that happen?
Right, right. People actually thought that we missed posting an arc or something.
Yeah.
But a lot of the things in this series is just put in ambiguity.
And the idea with that was, that's something that's happened in the past that we haven't talked about yet, and we'll get to it someday.
Yeah, yeah.
And here is Locke's version.
Right, this is...
Josh's version.
I did like this a little more than the other one that I...
Definitely better. I actually colored this one.
Yeah, yeah, I did... I did the original sketch for it, and I didn't do... I think I did one more guest comic, and then I didn't do any more until recently.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Here's Locke using the emerald.
And, original copy of Silent Hill. I'm a big fan of that game, and it's awful hard to find an original copy of it. This was back before you had the PSP with the downloadable games. And that is actually your handwriting for the cheat codes in the second comic, right?
You
actually wrote all those. Those are Street Fighter moves, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they are.
Yes, yes.
And then I think it's got like some other random codes in there.
By the way, John has an insatiable appetite for Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts are delicious.
You have no idea.
Aw, kitty.
The cats perplex me. I love cats. It's just that there are some times when we actually lived together for a time and we had a bunch of cats. And I remember whenever we got mad at a cat and we were telling it, you did this, it would just roll over and be cute and we couldn't stay mad at it. You can't be mad at a kitten. Ever. This was a birthday gift.
Domo.
I actually decided to draw this out of the blue, and this is a little better than the other things that I did. And I drew Domo-kun, and I drew my own version of Ensign and Locke. And as you can see, the cat and Locke are in the background, and they're happy. They're peaceful. They're not fighting. And John is frolicking with Domo-kun.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to remember the idea for this one exactly. I think it's just... Ence, why can't you ever be serious?
Right. 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 And this was sort of our way of answering the fact that this is pretty much the formula. Like, we didn't want us to be lumped into that formula.
Yeah.
And we kind of wanted to just run through it one more time and play around with it and then be done with it. And there's the Eye Buster again. We called it the Eye Buster just for kicks.
It's the... Yeah. Yeah. And it's actually a little mini arc. It goes on for a bit.
It is. And here, we're actually talking about Kingdom Hearts. We were referencing Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
And
as it happens went on, a bit.
Yeah. It goes on, and then we actually do shift away from it, because we didn't want to be associated with it.
Yeah, we don't want to copy, you know.
That's Nomura's work, and I hero worship the guy, so I would never try.
Of course.
The clock. This was another thing where we were coming up with a way to sort of give Ence
a responsibility.
A responsibility and another thing to be funny with, because it was mostly him being silly, and I wanted to tinker with other emotions with him being afraid.
Yeah, which definitely is here.
And I thought of these clocks, and these things used to creep me out so much when I saw them, and like, in old people's houses.
Yeah.
This is just a classic staple, and we thought that we'd put it in there as a sort of scary thing.
This is, no one believes me, but I saw this. This is real.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't charging forward into battle like this, but it was a dude with a biker jacket on a unicycle, and he had a sword.
The only thing I attribute...
And a mohawk.
I put into this comic was the caption.
Right.
Wrote part of the caption, and he changed it so that
Did
it
I?
Sounded better.
Did
yeah.
I?
Yeah. You actually perfected it, because I gave you a top as mighty steed, and then rode fearlessly into battle, and then you changed it, the Valiant uh-huh. Hero Maelstrom. Maelstrom is always a good word to use for battle.
It is good. I think, as I remember it, you wrote in a couple
right.
different
and
captions.
We picked one.
Kind of mixed them up.
Yeah. This is my favorite comic out of our first year. The first Animal Crossing comic was really funny, but my huge problem with it had been people using the clock feature to zoom forward to their birthday.
Yeah, I know.
Or to Christmas.
My brothers did that a lot.
And we both had... I talked about it with John, and we both came... Oh my god, that's happened to you too. Those weeds are so annoying. And I decided to take this on a very serious turn. I think I wrote two different versions of this.
Mm-hmm.
And where one where it was actually, they ran into Tom Nook instead of Hornsby.
Oh, right.
But then I thought, wouldn't it be just hilarious to have Hornsby come back. And we were thinking about what he could possibly say, and then we remembered that the animals get angry when you don't write
yeah.
to them or talk to them.
Yeah. Like, if you haven't played for a while and you start playing again, they will come up to you and it's like, I haven't seen you in forever.
They will literally ambush you.
They will. And here is... Josh talks about it.
It's my little blurb about it.
Yeah.
I say blurb like it isn't a freaking page. This was a good one. This was one of... This was actually both ones that Ence wrote while I was busy with finals. I was going to community college at the time and I had no time to start writing other scripts, so he kind of just went and did these comics on the games that he was playing, or just random things
yeah.
that were in his head.
I don't know what to say. I know the second one with Phoenix Wright here, I was playing Phoenix Wright, and towards the later cases, you got so much evidence. It's ridiculous.
It was. I think we were both playing it at the same time.
Yeah.
And then I was terribly excited because I had just finished the first one, and I had found out that a month later the second one was being released. And it was best. It was good.
And there's Trauma Center. I was just playing a lot of DS games at the time.
Trauma Center, and then the second one is Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah, that's Tactics.
Now, the girl working at the fast food restaurant, she was a friend of ours.
Yeah.
Right?
I haven't talked to her in a long time.
I did play Team
we
Fortress
played,
with
yeah,
her.
We played Team Fortress.
For a bit. And she was one of the first people...
Fans
that actually contributed to a couple of forums online and helped promote our comic for a little bit.
Yeah, it was good. I assume she still lives in this world, but
I hope
know
so.
Not of her existence.
I hope so. I hope so.
All I hear is, hence his last name. If you draw, then I'm sure you've had this happen to you. You just feel like drawing, but you don't know what to draw.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just annoying. But, you know, ooga booga.
Ooga booga.
It happens.
That should be a shirt right there. Ooga
booga.
It happens. It happens.
Yeah.
The second panel, second comic is another somewhat true.
You want me to tell the story?
Okay.
You want to...
Go ahead, Josh.
Okay.
You tell the story.
So, in our junior and senior year, we were in a programming class, and we were developing our final project, which was a game, ironically. And John and I were working on the art aspects, and I was pretty much managing the whole team, but my main job was doing the 3D art models along with John. And I asked him, one of his assignments was to do a bat, and by that I mean a flying bat.
Yeah.
And he actually asked me, he's like, what kind of bat? And of course, I had to go with the most obvious thing in my head, and I do this a lot, and I say, the flying kind, of course. And he decided to take me, literally, and make a slide of it. And he made this flying nail bat, and it was the most epic weapon that we developed for
that. It was good. It was good.
And this is the first appearance of the art teacher.
Right. I still want to do more with this guy.
Professor Fensrath.
Fensrath.
He has a crazy awesome beard.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, and there's a Trogdor.
Oh, yeah. He's in the back. He's hiding. Here is, it was in one of the previous comics I mentioned Godzilla fighting Sonic during a rock concert on the moon.
It would indeed be the best art assignment ever.
I wanted to draw it.
Yeah. There was, the second comic was when...
Was it Oblivion?
It is Oblivion. It is Oblivion. It was the first thing that I noticed about the game that kind of bothered me, both of them, where every time you got in a fight, there was just this epic music.
Orchestra.
But in Morrowind, it would play for everything, and it would play for the most minuscule of threats.
Yeah, a rat shows up and starts hitting you.
But the thing is, you couldn't tell where it's coming from.
So you're looking around. This is this epic music playing. You're looking around.
You think you're about to get ambushed by a troll. No, it's a mud crab just trying to untie your shoe.
And he dies in one hit.
Exactly.
This is Puzzle Quest. When Puzzle Quest Galactrix was announced, it was in space.
We were quick to jump on that.
Yeah.
For a comic. Yeah.
I'm kind of sad that no one else went anywhere with that. We were pretty much the only ones that commented on it at all.
I think Control-Delete did one. And then
did they?
Yeah. I don't think Penny Arcade touched it, though.
Second comic here is random.
This was another one that John did during this whole filler thing. And it was funny. It was a slight, but it was really, really funny. He just sent it to my email, and I opened it up, and it was like, comic. I was like, of course.
I knew I shouldn't have listened to him. Batman, this is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I still think it's one of the best ones I've ever done.
It is great. It is great. It is a great comic. And you could actually see how this is one of the points where... John's art starts coming together, and he starts researching a lot of other artists in order to start developing his art.
And then Orange Crush.
I insist
that it's about soda. People tell me otherwise, but I think they are lying.
I've tried, guys. I've tried convincing him of the actual meaning, and he's just not convinced.
I think it's about soda. Orange Crush is good. I like Orange Crush a lot.
It is good.
Here is another little arc. Just a little one.
Yeah, this was me trying to prep up for something different. I thought that Locke as an office worker...
wasn't working out.
It wasn't working out, it wasn't very interesting, and I couldn't really show him at work. Especially because I don't know that kind of life. Like, I've never worked in an office.
Yeah, it's hard to write for something like that when you don't know.
You don't know what it's like. And so I just decided it's better to go with what I know. And I did program, which is why I had that joke in there. And so I knew the pain. I was actually going to major in it before. This second comic there kind of explains how ants can afford rent.
Yeah. I think it's kind of a cheap way of explaining it, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, and it kind of explains why he's so easygoing about stuff.
Yeah,
and so it was a nice fit, I think.
I think that's a way that I've described Ants, is that he's essentially spoiled, and he doesn't have a sense of responsibility, right. Which is why he acts the way he does.
Right. So it's not really his fault. It's just his upbringing.
Power Rangers.
We both really loved it, as I'm pretty sure a lot of guys our age. Grew up watching Power Rangers.
The original
ones. And, yeah. Well, girls too. Kids of all ages during our age range loved Power Rangers. And you gotta feel sorry for the Putty Patrol.
The Putty Patrol.
I watched every day, every episode, as hundreds of these guys just got beaten to a pulp. So we thought we'd do one on.
This is just a random wow joke. Not much to say about it.
Yeah.
They're all short. Here's the imp. He's very imp-like, and Purple.
We decided to do something with the clock. We decided that it wasn't just an evil clock. We decided to have it sort of kick off this new arc,
right,
with the flagship character being the imp that sort of goes around and does this. Just, it's mischievous. He actually became sort of like our Mickey Mouse.
Unintentionally, yeah. I did not intend for that to happen.
Yeah, he's a fan favorite now, which really surprised me. We were only going to have him just for that arc.
Yeah, I always wanted to stay away from something like that. Like, a lot of comics, like, have a animal mascot type character. I didn't want to fall into that, but it happened anyway.
Yeah. Unavoidable.
I think this is also something we always intended for the clock to be. We always intended, like, monsters to pour out of this clock and cause havoc. Mischief, really.
Right.
And then I have a little early
sketch of...
Yeah. And some stuff happens.
Yeah, we decided to have the imp sort of orchestrate the next plot arc. And we decided to have him not just cause random mischief, but to be sort of like a lackey for a villain. Because we, clearly, we have heroes. We have heroes on our hands, and every hero needs a good villain. And
I think...
Yeah.
It doesn't say his name here. It probably says it.
No. Yeah, it does.
Well, Senesurf, yeah.
Senesurf. And
I think he's a good villain.
He is a good villain. He's the perfect adversary for both Locke and Ents. They both represent the opposite of what Senesurf represents. And, yeah, I think when we created this character, this was... Again, it's another Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts.
It always goes back to it. But we decided to explain it in a sort of different way of how he came into existence, and he has a different goal in mind than most of the characters, the villains that you see in Kingdom Hearts.
This was an epic comic. I had to split it in half for purposes to fit in the book. So here's the first half.
This was pretty much a slight on all an epic anime fight that have these epic fights, especially
Berk.
Yu-Gi-Oh!, but we decided to do it in Magic terms. This is an actual combination that I use in one of my decks, and it was just funny. It was just good.
I don't play Magic.
I tried to teach him. He's got cards.
I have cards. Maybe I'll get back to it someday.
You should. Loot. Every villain drops loot.
You always gotta loot the body.
You gotta loot the body.
It's a rule.
And I think that last post, I mean the last panel, is a reference. It is. It's a reference to It. It's a reference to Stephen King's It, and I'm pretty sure nobody got it. So there you go.
Well, I sure didn't get it. This one I drew by hand on paper. For some reason, you know, having fun, trying different things.
Another one of the commentary of.
There's another one.
Our life when we were roommates. This was also true. This is...
Yeah.
We often drew straws on who would tackle the mound of dishes we had in the house.
It was pretty bad. This is another result of Josh and I living together.
Oh, God. One of our other roommates decided to make the most crazy bassist ever. And we actually didn't see it until we performed for the first time, all four of us. And we were like, what is that?
What is that?
What is that thing?
I think that's the bassist.
Yeah. So we just thought it was so funny that we wanted to talk about it.
To put it into a comic. Jalapeno Poppers.
Jalapeno Poppers.
Okay.
It was something that we just threw together.
Yeah.
I love Jalapeno Poppers. And of course, it has to be me on the can.
Well, yeah. I guess. Josh was always saying, we're a gaming comic, Jack Thompson has to be in there.
We have to talk about
Jack Thompson. It's
like, fine. he finally allowed me to do one, and this was at the end of Jack Thompson's legal career.
Yeah, this is the end.
And I had to make this joke. It's probably the oldest joke in the legal book. Like, the worst, the silliest, most obvious joke you could ever make about a lawyer. So, but there you go.
The best part about Spore was the space section at the end. It was just so good. It was the best part of all of Spore, I thought.
There are a lot of comics that you write that take a lot of planning, that take a lot of refining. This is one of the ones that just came together.
Yeah,
I wrote this
probably
in about 10 minutes, and we edited it together. But we both thought it was hilarious. Yeah, and we knew good. That it could not go wrong. So
yeah, sometimes these comics, they just write themselves. Spirit Asian Man. He has one of them hats on and a sword.
A lot, yeah.
And a suit.
Another suggestion to our comic that just came up.
Yeah, I think this is someone that someone said. Something that someone else said.
So it was our old roommate said this is grand idea, so we just do it. Just had to do it.
Incidentally, I came up with this idea in the shower. Just, you know, it happens.
As
I don't know why. I don't know.
As many ideas come on the can in the shower. The bathroom is a nexus
of ideas. And creativity.
Yeah.
But I just love the second panel. It's great.
It is great. It's great. And he wrote this one completely, I think. And he just showed it to me.
As I usually do.
Right when it was done. He does do that a lot.
It's most of the time, a lot of the time, these comics are all me. Or
I come in the last minute.
Yeah, Josh will make Josh will always make minor revisions, or he'll have a good punchline.
I
will incorporate.
I am the wizard that takes the magical chaos and refines it into something
helpful.
The second comic,
just a continuation. Yeah,
that was when our internet just died.
I think we were having internet problems at the time. Yeah,
and I think this was before I started classes, or actually no, it was the summer, the first
time. I'm not sure.
And we just had nothing to do. It was crazy.
And then this is actually comic 100.
Yes.
I wanted to do something special and something going off on our first comic. He was karate chopping one fish. In this comic, he's karate chopping many fish.
And yes. We decided to make it like just. He decided to make it a lot more like a movie poster, so we have the credits at the bottom.
Yeah.
So, this would actually make a good poster.
Now that a real movie poster. Yeah. This is when I completely redesigned the site. I actually took a week off and didn't post any comics that week. And just focus completely on the site.
A lot of people ask us whether or not we have anyone that works on the site, but it's all John.
We did
go to a high school where they taught us a lot of these things, and I learned a little HTML, but he actually dove into the meat and potatoes of like what it takes to build a site. Use WordPress.
Right? Yeah, WordPress. This is when I moved everything over to WordPress. Before, everything was completely by hand. I manually did all of the coding, every single comic. When I switched everything to WordPress, everything's a lot easier. It's mostly a bunch of stuff in the background that you guys don't even see.
Right. It ends Wrath, and this is... I commented randomly about how... pointy his beard is. Like, it could shear... as Snake would put it, it could shear the armor off of a tank.
Rip a tank apart.
It's a tank apart. But yeah, and it Spore. Looked a lot like the cells from Spore.
The cell stage.
This is true. This is actually true. I had a cat.
it happened together. To me, actually. It happened to me.
It happened to all of us.
Was it?
Every one of us.
Yeah.
Every one of us. Whenever we'd wash dishes, the cat would get so upset.
Pay attention to me. Water.
Right. And so it would climb up our leg and scratch our face, or attempt to. And we just thought it was something funny that cats do.
It was a good thing I was wearing jeans at the time.
Yes. I wore shorts all the time. That was a bad time.
Ah!
It's Lonely at the Top.
This WoW one.
This WoW one. We actually posted it as part of a comic contest for World of Warcraft.
This
actually made front page.
Yeah, this comic made the front page of worldofwarcraft.com.
It was really good. It was a joke that no one had thought of. And I pitched it. We both thought it was really funny, and apparently so did Blizzard, because we didn't win.
No.
But they decided...
Honorable mention.
...to just put it up. And it was really nice.
It came out good.
It felt really good to know that it was being noticed.
Yeah. It's surprising. This one is real. This one is important to my mom. That's all I'll say about it.
Yeah. Other than that, this is when you started implementing textures, right?
Yeah. I went a little overboard with the textures, but this one, why don't you explain this one, Josh?
This one is a true story. This was me attempting to make cookies for my friends, for my roommates, and my other roommate at the time, she had her cookie recipe, and I misread it. And what was supposed to be a teaspoon of baking soda was I put in as a tablespoon, which has a very weird effect on cookies. They're delicious for the first 3 seconds. And John can tell you...
They weren't very good.
They weren't very good. I stubbornly attempted to eat half of the... I made a huge batch. I stubbornly attempted to eat the first half of it, and I just couldn't finish. I ended up throwing it all away, and it was really, really
Which sad. Is unfortunate.
Yeah. It's a waste of cookies.
It's a waste of cookies.
But
it happens. What game is this? I can't remember the name of it.
Lock's Quest.
Is that just Lock's Quest?
Lock's Quest.
I'll just say real quick about this game is it's essentially a tower defense game. You will build up your towers and your walls and your defenses, and then they will send you out to defeat the oncoming armies by yourself. I think all you have is a wrench. I think you have a wrench.
That's terrible.
You build these walls and then you go out and take care of everything.
Despite me knowing the name of the game, I've never played it. I didn't know what it was about.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad game. This next one, with Ensign Locke's designs, their character designs, I was trying to...
Change it up.
Change it up, yeah.
Make them a little more unique.
I made Locke, he's always wearing his outfit now, his work shirt. And I had Ensign wearing a hoodie. I don't know why I decided on a hoodie, but...
Yeah.
This I put as my favorite comic of the first year. And I wrote a little blurb on it. I think it really represents Mass Opponage very well.
Right.
This comic.
It's a gaming comic, it's one on nerd culture, and it's random, it's silly, and it's not meant to take on a sort of deeper meaning all too much, but it's meant to brighten your day. And yeah, I think it represents the comic fairly well.
Yeah. And there's a giant turkey.
Thanksgiving.
This was just a filler I did for Thanksgiving, because I was busy. I had little time to make a comic. Giant turkey. Here's another wild one. I think this is one Josh and I were running through a lower level dungeon, and Josh found a hat. And it was better than the hat I had on, so I was like, okay, I put it on. It was just a plain green cloak. It was so plain. It looked like I just put a piece of cloth on my head.
But the stats. It is hard to be a very well-rounded and highly powerful mage and still maintain your fashion sense. I will say that.
Yeah, it is hard. It's difficult. Second comic right here is... there's not much to say.
It's a reference to Garfield minus Garfield, isn't it?
Yeah, that's who it was.
Yeah, I think we were both looking in on that for a time, and it was just hilarious.
It's so good. Here's the store.
This is me starting this Locke's new life, trying to get together his new occupation, and it's something that I've always grown up with, these games and these card games. So here's him starting it and not really getting it.
Yeah, of course, that's one thing Josh and I decided on. He's going to start this store, and essentially he's not going to win.
Do very well.
Yeah. I mean, we think that would have been a poor storytelling. If he randomly started this store and it's the best thing ever.
Right.
So we go into that a little bit more.
Imp costume, that'd be great.
Which would never happen.
We fantasize about going to a con and seeing someone in a suit like this. It would brighten us.
I don't know. Second comic here, crazy snowstorm. It was so bad.
Yeah, if you were in the Pacific Northwest anytime during...
2008, was it?
2008, you knew that this was a really, really, really cold time. There was a lot of snow, crazy amounts of snow.
And of course, in the last panel, you look out the window there, and it's sunny and bright and happy.
It's good. This is another true story, actually. This is the exchanging of gifts in Christmas, and I was given a giant, giant comb. I still have that comb. It's actually green, I believe.
I think so. I'm not
sure. It's green.
It's green.
And... he gave me a giant comb and a Rubik's Cube. Unfortunately,
oh right,
the cats knocked down my Rubik's Cube and it shattered.
It was a cheap one, and it just kind of... Second comic, Germ. I think they're funny.
The germ is pretty good.
And that's it, actually. Here's a big up close up shot of the
flying nail bat.
I didn't draw the nail in here because originally it was a flying nail bat.
Right.
With a nail stuck in it.
Right.
I didn't draw it in there.
It was good. Our bios.
And just the bio at the end of the book. And not much to say about that, and that's it. That is it.
Yeah. So remember to check back. We update Mondays and Fridays. And so thanks for joining us. We'll see you book two, I guess.
Someday.
Heard it from him, not me.